All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy rainy, wet Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Commute took forever today.
A little bit slower today, man.
A little bit slower.
You got water out there on the road.
You got puddles.
You got a hydroplane. You got to take it easier. But go the speed limit, all right? Be careful. I forgot what this wet stuff looks like. I forgot how to drive it, and it's been a while.
Been spoiled. I feel like a Californian.
Been living in Palm Springs for the last couple of weeks. All of a sudden, it's like, what is this? We're in Greenland again? What's happening right now?
I was doing yard work yesterday. It was like late afternoon. All of a sudden, some drops started coming. I'm like, what is this? What's happening?
What is this discharge? It's falling down on my arm.
Like a storm? What's happening now?
Dude, yesterday kind of sucked. It was a dirty, because it was supposed to be nice, and then it was not, I mean, it was kind of cloudy and chilly, and then it rained for a little bit, and then by the time the day's, like, over.
It broke back out.
Yeah. Sun's out, so we went out for a little bit in the evening, but it's like, where was this in the middle of the afternoon? I thought it was supposed to be 75 and sunny today. You lied to me, Mark Nelson. You lied.
It does suck when it gets changed a little bit.
Dude.
But at least we got a sunset.
Yeah, we did. We got a nice little sunset last night. Little outdoor time in the sunshine before the day was over.
I've become kind of a hippie-ish weirdo that when it's sunny and I'm driving home on a sunset, I do this weird thing where I just look at the sunset and I'm like, thank you.
Thank you, son. Thank you.
Thank you for a great day. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Hey, it's a good thing to be appreciative of the nice things you get in life, right? Yeah. They tell you you're supposed to enjoy the little things. That's what matters the most.
I do try to enjoy little things to the point where yesterday I was caught off guard with a little thing that has been stuck in my brain since I left.
Ooh.
So I'm here till about 11 yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm leaving, and I'm the soy boy, so I'm charging my car.
You got to go unplug to drive home.
Right, the battery is being charged. I'm ready to leave, so I go to our back lot.
I gladly trade places with you the next time I have to fill up my gas tank. If you want to trade cars for a week, next time I got to fill up, you just go ahead and let me know, buddy. Okay.
I think I'm gonna pass on that.
Okay, all right.
I'm gonna pass on that.
I don't blame you there.
Appreciate the offer, though. And so I go to unplug the car, and at the back of our parking lot, there's a sidewalk, and then there's apartments kind of behind or to the side to our building by a railroad track.
Yeah.
And I see this gal walking up, and she's got like a chocolate lab. It's just a delightful, stupid-looking happy dog.
Just bumbling down the road.
No offense to you, to Bubba. I've always viewed labs as the dumbest happy dogs of all time.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
You know? They're smart, obviously.
Kind of. You know, they can be if they need to be. But for the most part, you're not wrong there.
They've just always reminded me of, like, which way did he go, George? Yeah. Where did he go? Because you just want to throw a ball and catch it.
I always think of the dog in Up.
Oh,
that puts the collar on his neck. Squirrel! Squirrel!
Kevin,
ball,
right?
Ball. I think it's Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
I think so. Or is the bird Kevin? I can't remember.
Right.
Doug, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, Doug. Yes. I think I know who you're talking about.
But that's exactly. You picture that voice in your head.
Yes.
And that kind of personality.
So I see this chocolate lab, and there's this lady walking the dog, and I go to the car, and I hear, like, it's Charlie Brown, because I have bad hearing, and I'm also not paying attention to anything.
Can't hear a thing.
I unplug the car, and I look up, and she's probably 25 feet from me, and I go, huh?
Yeah, are you talking to me?
And I'm like, she could have been talking. She had to be talking to me. There's nobody else around.
You talking to me?
And she starts laughing, chuckling, and she goes, do you want it?
Ooh. Depends on what it is, babe.
And I was like, what? And she goes, do you want him? And I've realized she's talking about her dog.
Ah, she wants you to take the dog. Did she see you looking at the dog?
No, I mean,
no.
Not unless she saw me from a great distance, because I looked at the dog walking to the car, but then I put my head down to unplug my car.
Right, you glanced over, glanced back.
And smile, they make eye contact, nothing.
Of that. Okay.
And I go,
huh?
What? she starts, like, just uncontrollably laughing. She's like, I'm just kidding. And I go,
I'm really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I thought you were.
Are you on drugs right now?
And she turns to me and she's like, yeah, he's my dog.
We're well and aware go, of that lady, yeah.
He's a cute boy.
You're the one that's walking it, I just would assume.
And she goes, I was just kidding. And I'm still standing there with the charger in my hand, and I'm like, I'm looking around as if, am I getting pranked?
Am I on a show? Ashton!
And she's like she's now past me with the dog, right?
Yeah.
And she's laughed the second time, and I'm kind of just standing there, like, almost open mouth, like, And she just turns and she goes, and she just turns around and walks
and
away.
And just keeps on going.
And I just went,
the laughing bandit got you.
Boy, that was bizarre.
Laughing hysterically. Now, she didn't look homeless?
No.
No, looked like not okay.
She wasn't on.
Because in these kind of these, if you're telling me this kind of story, in our neck of the woods down here at work, that's where my head immediately goes. It's like a crazy homeless person walking around.
No, totally
schizophrenic,
normal.
Talking to eight different people that they see in their brain.
Dog looked very clean.
No issues at all.
She had a normal outfit on. She'd have no facial scratches.
It's really weird.
She's
really
wearing shades. Yeah. Like, she's put together. And
seems
like
she knows what she's doing. And then just a laughing attack.
I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to think. I was just so caught off guard by it.
I'm pretty speechless in that moment if that happens to me. I don't really know how to respond to this. I'm just looking at you like, are you crazy, lady? I'm a little confused why you're asking
now,
me this.
Now, do you ask somebody if they're crazy or
I don't think you can do that. It's more of a rhetorical question than I'm saying in my head.
Yeah, I tend to believe the same thing.
Is this lady crazy?
Right.
I think this lady's crazy.
Right.
Why are you laughing like that? I'm really, really uncomfortable. I wasn't even in the situation, and I'm just uncomfortable in the secondhand story.
Well, I'm really good at retelling stories in a very uncomfortable manner.
Yes, you are.
But in this case, this is legitimately how it went down. And I was just like, are you trying to get rid of your dog, but like you're joking about it, but you're kind of being serious about it?
Yeah, you've been really pissed off at this dog, and it eats something in your apartment, and now you're just, you want rid of the dog, and you're just kidding?
I mean, I do have a thing of like, if you're super active, have any dog in the world you want. But I do kind of always wonder if I'm in downtown and I see somebody with a massive dog.
Yes.
I'm always like,
it's a tough one.
Are you taking care of that dog?
That's a tough one.
Right. Like, yeah. I know people who have decent sized dogs that don't walk it. And I'm like, you got to walk your dog.
You have to walk your dog.
Like, at a minimum, your dog has to go for at least a mile.
You got to get it outside.
Especially if it's a big dog.
Let it smell, let it pee, let it get some of the energy out. They kill a lot of calories. It's a burner for them to just walk around and sniff. Like, you don't have to run them. Just sniffing that, getting that nose going for a couple of blocks is all you really need.
People think my dog is malnourished because he's in great shape. Because you can kind of see at the end his ribs a little bit.
Look at you.
But we
couldn't wait for his next fight.
No, we feed him twice a day. We just take him on like 2 mile walks.
He's running around in the backyard with a garbage bag on. I got to get to 42 pounds by next week, man.
My hottest take is I don't let my dog in my backyard. I don't let my dog go in my backyard.
Scrooge McSpray. God, you don't let him dump anywhere? You don't let him in your backyard?
No, he
let
ain't
him
dumping.
Explore a little bit.
He
let
ain't
him
pissing,
sniff.
He ain't dumping.
He can't even go back there.
All that stuff is for the walk, dude. He ain't doing that in my backyard.
Well, then you don't let him poop on some people's lawns. You got to let him. Where's he pooping?
We got parks. We got grassy knolls. We got areas. Don't worry.
Let the guy take a dump, man.
There's a farm that I think has sold itself. It's not growing anything. I let him crap on that and I clean it up.
It's like me in the emergencies. And sometimes when I drive home and you feel like you got to crap. Your pants, you got to get home in time. Your poor dog's walking around clenching, waiting until he gets to his pooping zone. I'm not there yet.
I promise he's totally okay. We take great care of him.
I always crack up because when I grew up, we had like a German Shepherd when I was a kid that I don't really remember, but German Shepherds seemed like really cool dogs. And then we got a Yellow Lab. And when that Yellow Lab lived from like when I was 4 to I was like freshman in high school, something like that.
So a lot of years,
that's right?
That's really your first dog, if you're being
honest. That's the first dog. And that dog was not allowed in our basement. It was not allowed upstairs.
Wait, why?
Because my dad was like you. He was like, no, we're not getting dog hair in the basement. The dog's not going upstairs. It just lived on the main floor of the house, was never allowed on any furniture. Like, all of it was off limits. And it was normal to us growing up because you don't think anything of it. You're just like, whatever, I guess that's what people do with their dogs. As a kid, you have no idea. And then that dog dies. We, like my junior or senior year of high school, get a new dog who has since passed away, Buddy, the Sheltie. And that dog went anywhere and everywhere it wanted to go.
Why did your dad change his stance?
Probably because he was an empty nester and there were no more kids in the house. Like 2 years later, I'm off for college. My brother's already moved out, so there's nobody around. And so he's hanging down in the basement and the dog is down there with him, sleeping on the couches, slept every night on a bed its entire life, never slept on a dog bed.
Yeah.
And I still chuckle about that to this day of like, that was a pretty big pivot. And so I feel like you're going to have a big pivot at some point in your life.
You ever bring it up to him?
We make fun of him from time to time and he just laughs it off. He's like, yeah, we change. And now they have another new dog because that dog passed away and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That dog does whatever that dog wants to do.
Do you ever think you're going to get to a point? My dad has reached this point. My dad, when I met him when I was like 18, he had two dogs. He had a small pit that he had rescued and then he had a black lab. And they were some of the best trained. Like, he would take these dogs anywhere.
nothing would happen.
Dude, they would never be curious to go up to any other animal. Yeah. They're right by him. They're walking off leash. Like, he could take them hiking. They'd never wander out into the woods. They'd stay right with him on the path.
Walking right behind him.
Great dogs.
Yeah.
And when they both passed, that was, like, really tough for him and my stepmom. And they had had dogs, you know, most of their whole lives as adults, right? I didn't grow up with any of them, but those were the two that I met.
Right.
And I've always been surprised, like, since they passed, and I want to say it was when my 14-year-old was probably two.
Okay, so a while ago.
A while ago.
Yeah.
Maybe young, maybe older than that. They've never had another dog.
Never did it again.
Now, they've dog sat for sure. My stepsister, for me, like, for other people once in a while.
Yeah.
They've never had another dog, and it was basically like he couldn't handle...
Those dogs were so good, we can't...
He just didn't want to keep going through losing a dog. He had lost dogs tragically. He had had dogs their whole lives.
I get it, dude. It rips your heart out.
All of it. And yeah, it's a brutal ending when you lose your dog. But
yes, it is.
I've always been surprised of some people can just have a new dog their whole life.
Yes.
And some people, I think, have a cutoff point where they're like, no, dude, I can't do this anymore.
I don't want to do it.
I love dogs. I'm a great dog owner, but I can't go through the pain of losing another dog.
Well, especially when you get to a certain age, too, where you're like, am I even going to outlive this dog? Am I getting another dog and then I'm not
around? Whose responsibility is it?
Who are you going to pass the dog down to? Now you got to find a plan here for the afterlife of where that dog's going to go. The only I get the tough emotional angle of it. Not easy to overcome. I think about it, and this is pretty morbid. I think about it every day when I'm like sitting with my dog. At one point, the thought will pop into my head of like, God, that's gonna suck. Every single day.
I think about that for you because I know Bubba's getting up there.
I mean,
in the
he's
age
nine now, dude. It's like time has absolutely flown, and that freaks me out. And now I'm really depressed. So thank you for that great reminder. I'm gonna get home and give him a big hug, Bubba. I'm gonna give him a big kiss from those ears. But I think it depends on where you're at, like situationally in life. If you're traveling a ton, then I totally get it.
They don't travel a ton.
And that, like, if you're an empty nester, kids are gone, dogs pass away, and you're like, I don't want something tying me down to what are we going to do if we go somewhere?
Right.
What do we do with the dog? Like, that's the biggest hang-up of having a dog.
I agree.
Because if you're around, it's like, dude, it's great having a dog around the house, but then you want to go on vacation for 2 weeks somewhere. All right, what the hell are we going to do?
That
you're flying somewhere.
Part.
Like, you got to find somebody to watch it. It's a pain in the ass. And do
it's
they like the dog?
If you want a cage or, you know, daycare or whatever it is.
Exactly. Do they have a dog, the people watching it, that doesn't get along with your dog? Do they have a cat? Like, then there's all sorts of issues that arise out of it. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, I get it. But that's an interesting one because I feel like most people say we're not going to get a new dog. And then it happens far sooner than you thought based on the time of how quickly you would get over it.
Yeah, like our dog was kind of an accident.
Yes.
Because I lost our last dog.
Right.
And I was...
This one fell in your lap.
I would say it was thrown in my lap.
Yes, here
we
go.
I wouldn't say it fell in my lap. I say somebody's like, here's your dog.
Take the dog.
Take it or the pound's taking it. And I'm like, ah, damn it.
The dog's going to die or I'm taking a new dog. I got to choose door number two there.
I want to be really honest with you. For about the first 9 to 10 months, was like, F this dog, dude. Yeah. I don't want this dog.
It takes you a while to build that. I don't know. I can't remember how long it was with Bubba, but I remember having some of those thoughts early on. Like nights when he would stay up in his crate crying. Like refusing to sleep unless you lay, and you just hear it over in the corner of the room, like God. But and then by about the time you hit like 7 months, I can't remember exactly, but you hit a marker there where that you kind of get over that hump, and then you look at him and you're like, God, you're another piece of my soul, man.
Yeah. I know I'm going to be a wreck when the big guy goes.
It's not going to be good.
Let's do a. We got a lot to get to today.
Yeah,
let's give a round of applause. Brandon, welcome to the morning show. Your first official stream is not working at 6 a.m. He's been over there the entire segment.
Trying to get it figured out.
Trying to get us up
panicking
on
and not finding solutions.
Dude,
right
he's got a dope Blazer shirt on, too. We've got to show that thing on the cameras,
man.
If
we can get the cameras working, then
let me say this.
It's a good-looking shirt right there. I like that.
You have spent the entire 14 minutes of the segment, and probably longer, getting the YouTube up. You haven't accomplished it yet. You don't need to panic.
Okay.
We're not going to yell at you. We are used to things just breaking until about 8 a.m.
It's the classic, it was working until 5 minutes before the show started.
I love it. That's what Swag tells me all the time.
Yep.
And I know it's his fault, so I'm not going to do that to you.
No. You're young and you know how to handle some things.
You got this.
Technologically, we'll Swigart is not really his
strength.
We
might need some more people in the building.
That's all right. You keep working. We
send up the signal.
Effort.
We'll wake everybody up.
Yeah, that's usually what we do around here. Let's start. We got a lot to get to today. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Mail Sack questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the final hour of the program. But let's start the show. Finally embracing who he has always been, in my opinion. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan. Oh, man. Finally happened. It finally happened yesterday in sports.
What, you watched hockey? Huh?
Dude?
Huh? Dude? Hockey was hockeying last night.
I had a lot of quad boxing in my life.
Proud of you. Proud of you.
Ottawa.
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 Carolina.
It's a hell of a game. Double overtime.
I have a bone to pick with one hockey team.
Ooh, who's your beef with?
Well, before I tell you that.
Okay.
I noted something for the show.
Yes, what did you note?
So all of the rage and Reddit postings and vitriol in the city right now is directed at Scrooge McDuckdon.
Yeah.
Tommy Two Nickels.
We're talking about T-shirts, man. T-shirts.
I think Tommy Two Nickels might be my favorite. I just love saying it. Tommy Two Nickels.
Tommy Two Nickels sounds like a gangster from the 1930s living in the Bronx.
Yeah.
What's your name? Tommy Two Nickels.
And I'm watching Tommy Two Nickels' hockey team, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yes.
The Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes. Game two. They won game one. Game two was last night.
Atmosphere's rocking. And my takeaway is this. I don't know what they're going to have by Friday.
Yes.
But if you tell me it's a towel, I will be more happy as a viewer of the game on television, because to me, I just think towel waving is infinitely better than saying, oh, they're all wearing red T-shirts.
Agree. Unless you're doing something like Tennessee, like a checkerboard, and it's like San Antonio had this with three different T-shirts.
They did the Fiesta colors.
One arena with the same color doesn't do a lot for me, especially red, because there's so many teams that do the red out already. Like Toronto does a red out for a home playoff game.
Sure.
Like if you do something that's unique and cool, then I could understand the appeal of the T-shirt. But if you go on like a 10-0 run in the third quarter, time out San Antonio, yep, and everybody's up waving their white towels or red towels or whatever the color they're going to be. It's aesthetically very pleasing.
Now, if you're going to tell me we don't have T-shirts, then okay, we don't have T-shirts. But if you told me you had red, white, and black the way San Antonio did the Fiesta.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I hear you.
Yeah.
But I also still think I pick the towel.
Still take towel over that?
Just nothing better on television. At least last night watching a hockey game. And hockey, a much different environment in some ways in the playoffs than NBA.
You don't see the crowd quite as much, you know, during play-by-play.
Well, just watching the Carolina crowd, they scored a goal pretty early in the first period.
They did.
And I'm like, dude, what an atmosphere.
They're buzzing, man.
I
wonder if we went into that arena and pulled them on Tom Dundon, how they would feel. You know, NHL agents don't like him.
I don't think that they would have a lot of gripes right now. Yeah, I don't think they're complaining about how the agents feel.
He's El Cheapo, man. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, that did get brought up. I guess Bill Simmons nicknamed him El Cheapo.
El Cheapo, which is another great nickname, too.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm okay with it.
I kind of want somebody in Mark. I mean, look, selfishly, I'd love to be the show that read the person who had the name.
I think we kind of did it. We put the name out there.
Scrooge McDuckdon has gained a lot of traction. Yeah. Tommy Two Nickels is pretty good.
Yes.
El Cheapo was there, and it's not bad, but just feels also like the easiest, quickest nickname.
It does.
But it's Bill Simmons, so it's probably going to catch on
this
the most.
This is why Bill Simmons is Bill Simmons, man. He's the GOAT.
Exactly.
Comes up with nicknames like this.
Oh, man. It's a lot of hard work saying El Cheapo.
Look, that was a great, it was a great night of hockey. The Carolina game was great. Nice little comeback win. Edmonton down by one going into the third. McJesus saves the day.
Yeah.
They score two in the third, come back and win. The Anaheim jerseys were solid. Dallas's jerseys going back to the throwbacks with like the star kind of throughout the jersey. Really good, clean look. I also, though, had a Dundon take because I was flipping around. Great night of sports. This is a super underrated time of year.
The quad box was quadding like, last night.
If you're into basketball playoffs, which I am, I'm not the biggest hoops guy, but you get to playoffs, it's like, now it means something. This is fun. It's great. Love hockey. Stanley Cup playoffs are undefeated. Big fan of it. Every night there's something to watch.
I know.
It's perfect. And you
it's
wait
great.
Around 4:30, usually a game starts. Let's go watch sports. I turned on the Denver game against Minnesota. You know what I noticed?
What?
No T-shirts.
Really?
No T-shirts for the Nugs fans.
How did that change the energy
or
excitement of that fan base?
They lost the game. So clearly we now know the reason Denver. Now, I can't remember if they did or did not for game one. I feel like I would have noticed if they did not, but I can't remember.
That's crazy.
And game two, no T-shirts, and they did not win.
I don't know how those fans even were able to start cheering.
I think they want to trade Jokic and start over a rebuild.
I think they want the Kroenkes to sell it.
I think they do, too.
Why would you want some of the richest owners in all of sports?
Guy lost his lead executive that built built his championship team. He walks to Minnesota. Now you're not giving T-shirts.
It's all because of the T-shirts.
I mean, the atmosphere sucked. Nobody was cheering.
Terrible.
There was no noise in the arena.
It wasn't loud. I definitely didn't think this was a big game.
Not at all. When the Nuggets were up by 19 points in the first half, I thought, this place sounds like a church.
So a couple things. Cause I'm not going to get to what I wanted to get to here. So I'll just kind of, it's a little bit of a hodgepodge opening sports segment.
We got derailed by hockey. That's okay.
So here are my two hockey observations.
Yes,
playoff hockey, okay? I'm going to disagree with something you said kind of in passing there.
Ooh.
What are we doing with the Duck uniforms?
Anaheim, you're not a fan of the orange.
Those are terrible. Yeah, those are so ass. What are you doing? You only exist because of the Disney movie, look, and you only exist in the colors in which the Disney movie jerseys exist.
Look, you're not wrong.
Orange?
You're not wrong.
We're going all orange? That is disgusting.
It is a lot of orange. It's a lot of orange for the palate when you turn it on. I understand
the point.
I'm
an Oregon State grad. That's even too much orange, man.
I didn't know a beaver could have too much orange in their life.
Balance it out. I'm not an all orange guy. Like, all yellow and all orange never needs to exist.
Look, I will also acknowledge my baseball team is the same color as your college football program with the orange and black. If they wore all orange jerseys, I would have the same takeaway.
It's just so, what is happening here?
That's too much orange.
You couldn't throw any black in there?
A little splash of orange is fine, but it's at least the jerseys were white and the accent was orange. The only critique I had of it is I don't like when you're a road team wearing that and one of the primary colors of the other team is also orange. And almost because their jerseys are blue and orange, yours are orange and white, and that's a lot of orange for one game. Can we wear another alternate? Do we have another one in our hip pocket?
Yeah, I'd love to have a conversation of, like, first of all, just tuning into hockey, as I usually do for the playoffs.
Welcome aboard.
Have they been orange for a long time? Did this just start? I had so many questions, and I'm like, it was awful. I had to look away for most of their game because of how ugly I thought those uniforms were.
You're Kramer walking out of the apartment with Jimmy Rogers chicken on the outside. Yeah. Walking out of the
door.
I can't handle this much orange, man.
Way too much.
Look, it's a fair take. I can't remember exactly when they folded those into the bunch. And it gets away from their roots of being named after a Disney movie.
I mean, you only exist because of a movie, which is a really odd situation in general. But don't do the all orange. And then the hockey broadcaster, I'm blanking on his name, Shambi.
Shambi.
He was on the call, right? Or was it? Oh, no, it was with Schusen.
Bob was Schusen is the name you're looking for.
On the Carolina call, right?
Yes, I believe so. It was either, I can't remember who called what. Bucci Gross called the game.
No, it wasn't Bucci.
Bob was Schusen.
It was with Schusen on the Carolina game.
Okay.
And let me just say, for
the
record,
I didn't know who was calling the Edmonton game. I couldn't tell whose voice that was.
I think with Schusen, dare I say,
hot take, here it comes.
For a guy in sports, top five in all of sports for hockey. Not in hockey specifically, but like you give me a name and you say you think of the sport with the name.
Yes.
Right? So once upon a time, this would have been Marv Albert in the NBA.
Yes.
If you take all of them from all the leagues.
All of them.
Bob Wischusen is top five when calling a hockey game. And it's not close.
I'm okay with that
take.
The
excitement and deepness, but like calm way in which he announces.
Sure.
God, it's good. And it makes atmospheres seem even better.
That's not an entire game of Gusgasms, but he gets there if he needs to.
He will.
He can climax at times.
You know when the climax is climaxing.
You do. But for the most part, you want to keep it even keel.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's a lot of nothingness. There's a lot of back and forth. Hey, they dumped that puck in. Oh, they didn't get possession of it. They cleared it back out. They dumped that puck in. Oh, they cleared. Like, there's a lot of stretches for like 6 minutes where nothing really happened right there.
Right.
But, you know, you got to know your moments to climax. I actually get excited for Bob with shoes in. It's a tough one. You got to say it slow. For any sport, like when he calls a college football game, Oregon doesn't get many of them anymore because they don't play on ESPN.
I'm not mad at him on college football.
I'm a big fan of, I think he's an underrated college football guy.
That's fine to say. I'm totally happy with that take.
Every time he's behind the mic, I go, hey, all right, Bob Wischusen, let's go.
I just think when he's on hockey,
he's a good guy.
Who doesn't know anything about hockey.
He's a good hockey guy. The hockey crews are pretty solid, man. It's a pretty good team. Bucci Gross is okay. He's not my favorite.
He's such a better studio guy, personally.
I agree with you. Him and Steve Levy are kind of that way for me of like, you're passable. I don't turn it off or turn the sound off, but I prefer you in the studio.
You're just a great studio guy.
And that's a compliment for your studio work.
But probably not to them.
But probably not to them because they want to be play-by-play guys. Yeah. Kenny Albert's still doing it.
Kenny like, Albert. Albert's really good.
Forslund, the guy who was fired by Scrooge McDuffin in Carolina, is now one of the lead voices as well. So hockey's in a pretty good spot of national play-by-play guys that you turn a game on, you're like, all right, let's do this.
Who's Gruden's old Monday Night Football guy again?
Mike Tirico?
No, not Tirico. The bald guy.
Bald guy. Oh,
you're blanking too.
I'm blanking too.
He's been doing sports our whole lives.
God, what is McDonough. Sean McDonough.
Thank you.
Yes.
Went totally blank there.
Sean McDonough calling games.
He's
also
good.
Great.
Really good.
He's super high up. I talk about underrated guys in every sport, too. Sean McDonough's that way.
Wischusen has a thing about him on hockey.
It's a good sound,
like,
man.
He gets me, man.
It's a good sound. You had a nice little night last night where Carolina thought they scored a game-winning goal. Everybody left the arena. Ottawa left the bench. Like, this game's over, first overtime.
Yeah.
And then they went back and reviewed it offsides. Everybody livid. Only, like, 75% of the arena returned.
Damn
they
VAR,
got,
man.
They got the announcement. It's like, wait, what? Ottawa has to come back out? How brutal is that till you come back out, then you still end up losing the game? You were given a second life. What? The game's still going on? And we lost in the next overtime.
It is a Blazer playoff day. We got a game tonight. Game two. I'm excited to not talk about Tom Dundon's spending habits.
Are you sure you don't want to talk about it again today?
Yeah, too.
You sure?
I got yelled at for a couple hours yesterday.
Who's yelling at you?
Well, I'm not going to say that on the air.
Name names.
No, I'm not going to name names.
How dare you? Were you too hard, too easy?
No, it wasn't specifically like somebody calling me and yelling at me. It was more the approach people were taking. And I'm like, all right, can we calm it down?
That's what I tell my two-year-old.
I may or may not call somebody sugar tits yesterday out loud by myself.
I don't think you can say that, but we'll let it fly. It's early in the morning.
Calm it down.
Yeah, I think you got to go sugar tease is what you're looking
for.
Sugar tease.
Right, I do.
The correct phrase there.
Well, we're not on YouTube. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. That's totally passable if we're not on YouTube.
That's the way it works, right?
That's 6:30. What do you want from me?
The FCC says that if you're not on YouTube, you can say whatever you want. Filters are off.
Brandon's like, what is happening to me today? Kind of listen to this while I'm doing a YouTube problem.
I knew it was coming.
All right. Well, let's get to what I wanted to get to here. He's finally embraced what he has always been in my eyes, and I think it's a good thing. I'll tell you who I'm talking about next on The Fan.
I am no villain. I'm a nice guy with two kids and a wife.
Same here. Same here, CJ. I am no villain. Just a nice guy with two kids and a wife.
And a dog. By the way, everybody says lady yesterday hitting on you. She was making a move.
You think that's what it was?
That's what the listeners are claiming. She was clearly hitting on you. That's the thought that's coming in.
Mike, so I have two girls, right? So yeah. I'm like super outnumbered in my house on a daily basis.
She's giving you one of these.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
You want my dog?
And I'm a couple years away from all three of those ladies syncing up. And
yeah,
certain moments of the month, like I might have to be
incognito. You're gonna have to go in the garage for a week every month. Just get out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
Let me know if you need anything.
Sleep
I'm gonna be out
here.
Out here.
I love cots.
Right.
I love the garage.
Give me a couch out here. We're good to go.
So golf courses are also your best friend.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm gonna go play 18. I'll see you later.
So I'm like, you know, I've gone through it a little bit. Anytime if I see a woman that I know. Mm. Or I talk to a woman at like a Saturday market or a store. Dude, I could be asking where the toilet paper is for my dirty underwear.
Yes.
And my kids will still go, Mom, Dad's hitting on that girl. And I'm like,
any sort of conversation that pops up.
Do you know
it
what
does
I just asked
matter.
That woman?
No.
I don't think that's how I'd approach that situation at all. So I am so far removed. From even recognizing,
sure, you have no idea
what being hit on would look like.
Yes.
That I'm just going to accept what listeners are saying.
I mean, most men were that way prior to even being married and having kids. That it could smack you across the face like a 2x4, and you still wouldn't pick up on it.
I might have been like, "Oh, like, she's laughing at me for no reason."
Wait a minute, she's into me. Is that what you're telling me right now?
But I was just like, "I don't want your dog. Get out of here."
I mean, it's not a bad pickup line if you were really into dogs and you were single. Hey, why don't you jump on in, honey? Let's go for a ride.
No. No, none of that.
You said she was put together. She sounded like she had a delightful laugh.
I didn't actually describe. I just said she had a normal outfit.
Kind of sounded like a hot. Sounded like a hot to me, buddy.
All right. Well, anyways, how about CJ McCollum being red hot in the second half and fourth quarter of the Atlanta Hawks game?
The parlay missed by a point. By a point.
Don't get me started.
What are we doing, Toronto?
Why didn't we take the Cavs side?
What are we
That's
doing?
All I kept asking myself.
And it was a 9.5 point spread, and they lost by 10. You sons of a...
Why didn't I just
and then the Hawks win
underdog money line.
I at least made up for it because I live bet the T-Wolves down by 19 in the first half. I'm like, this series could be funky. Denver's kind of funky.
What did you get at those odds? It had to have been insane.
I bet 10 bucks and won. What did I win? 80, I think. So whatever the yeah. I was like, they were down by 19.
That's a good call by you.
I mean, I actually stopped watching the game for a couple minutes because we were putting Teddy down, walking around, and then I came back in and turned it on, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's tied. That happened quickly.
So Denver and Minnesota, I think, is going to be the winner in my ranking of the playoff stuff. But what I would say is
Atlanta-New York was a hell of a game yesterday.
It's spicy.
I thought about live betting the Hawks, too, and I didn't do it, and I was pissed because they were trailing the entire game, it felt like, down by however many in the fourth quarter, and then our old buddy came to the rescue.
He did. C.J. McCollum came to the rescue. The Hawks go on a giant fourth quarter run. The Knicks don't have any offense. They also had no timeout with 5 seconds left. Bridges shoots a shot. It's short. After, by the way, CJ missed two free throws that would have made it much more difficult for the Knicks.
Yes.
And they get the road win, and they come back, and now we've got a 1-1 series going back to Atlanta. And I'll just say this. I always appreciated CJ McCollum as a bucket getter, as a guy that wanted to be in Portland.
Uh-huh.
But I was one of those people that did also always view him as, you're the trade chip that we just refused to deal, and it's not your fault. It's just the situation.
The other player we had before you is also an undersized guard who doesn't play a lot of defense and needs the ball in his hands.
Correctamundo.
Two of those are hard to be simpatico.
I think you can say that while also acknowledging he gave us one of the best playoff moments in Blazer history with his Game 7 performance at Denver.
An all-timer on Mother's Day.
The one thing I've always said, I always found him personally to be a little on the toying with the dirty side. I think he had fouls at different points in his run here that I'd be like, ooh.
Yeah.
If I was a fan against Portland, I'd not like that dude.
Come out after the game, say the right thing in the right tone. He avoided those allegations for a long time.
I think he has always been a villain. And I think he won't admit it. I have a clip here on CJ not wanting to be a villain. He's absolutely a villain. And I think he's finally found himself in this Knicks series. Not that he hasn't been a good player.
No, when you kick somebody in the nuts in game one and then come out and make fun of him after the game, like he's embracing that role now, finally in his career.
Yes.
I wonder if Trae Young was still there, like if that was the deal or, you know, whatever, he was still on the roster, if he would be taking on this role, because Trae Young was that for Atlanta.
They swapped.
New York hated him, and now you needed, like, who's going to fill that void? That was the only part about this series that I didn't give enough respect to that you ended up hitting. Was that helps when you have a guy that goes into MSG and everybody hates that guy and they're chanting against him and he's, you know, getting into it with fans and players and he got into it with Alvarado last night.
Yes, he did.
They're chanting every time he touches the ball. Like, you need that, and I didn't think you were going to have that in this series. And then he kicked Jalen Brunson in the nuts and called him a bitch after game one and then did what he did in game two, and we officially have that in this series.
This is going to sound nuts. It's the most I've liked him.
This is the most you've liked
him? When he was on the midcourt, I know this sounds ridiculous to a lot of Blazer fans, and I'm sorry. We're going to have to
disagree
on this.
Nugs,
no, I mean,
Mother's Day win.
That was a great day.
That was a great day.
A great day.
And then he stepped out of bounds a couple years later in Denver.
He did. Now, watching him at midcourt with the crowd saying, F you, CJ, and him just, like, basking it in, down 11, and you're like,
how would you not? That's got to be one of the coolest feelings as a professional athlete.
Oh, my God. I think this is doing something for him, and I think it did. He was asked in the postgame about being a villain, and this is what he said.
I am no villain. I'm a nice guy with two kids and a wife. I think it's admiration. Great, passionate fans in a really hostile environment. It's fun. It's basketball. It's the playoffs. And if anything, I think it's a sign of respect.
Come on, man.
It's not admiration. They hate you.
They
hate your guts.
Yeah.
You kicked their best player in the nuts in game one.
You also just stole the game on the road.
And then acted like he was acting on Broadway. And then you went for, what did he have, 32 last night? Three huge buckets in the final 2 minutes. Didn't miss the free throws, but it didn't end up biting them. They also had the snafu on NBC where is there a timeout or is there not a timeout?
Dude, that was
hard. And they come out and acknowledge it after the game of like, by the way, like, oh, okay.
That was the timeout they were missing.
Yes, it would have been nice to know whether they had a timeout or not, because that last possession was a little herky-jerky and it almost still went in. But hell of a game in New York last night.
Did anybody else's NBC, by the way, multiple times get, like, the coverage got ahead of the broadcaster?
I did not notice that.
Or vice versa. I had noise ahead of my video.
I did not notice that.
Did nobody else have that? So maybe it's just
maybe I just wasn't watching close enough.
It does happen sometimes.
It's
I don't know if I noticed in that broadcast, but there are other broadcasts where the announcer will say it went in before the ball goes to the net.
I can't stand it.
You just spoiled it for me, man.
Drives me crazy.
That happens in golf all the time when you hear the sound of the shot. And you're like, he hasn't even swung yet. Can we sync this up, dude? And he's like still standing over the ball. Was it a good
T-Wolf game? They had a three and they hit it and he's just shooting it. And I heard the net. I heard the crowd. I heard the commentator. I'm like, what? How am I this far behind?
For three.
So when that happens, I just fast forward my controller like as much as I can. And then I hit the big button and it usually syncs back up. But it was like momentarily
not good.
Unsync.
The only out of sync?
Out of sync.
Out of sync. That, I mean, I don't catch all the audio for these games because it's usually on a quad box on my TV. So it just depends on do I have the audio on that game that you're talking about in that moment. And I certainly went solo watch for the final couple minutes because it got a little spicy and seeing if Atlanta was going to pull it out. But for the most part, I'm just kind of flipping around in the quad box so I don't hear all the audio.
I think it's great. See, Jim McCollum, be a villain, dude.
Embrace it, man.
Embrace
like this series, game one was fine. You had the McCollum Brunson incident.
And it was close for a while.
It was close for a while. And then, you know, even at the end, they were kind of making a little, they were down by like 15 or 16, and they made him a little uncomfortable. Kind of similar to Portland San Antonio in that regard, where you're like, is there that? No, not quite. And then you win game two, and all of a sudden, the juice is on this series now.
Yeah.
Because we talked about going into the playoffs, the pressure on teams that cannot lose in the first round. And New York is either atop that list or it's a 1A, 1B, depending on how you view certain teams. And so they're all of a sudden puckering over there at MSG.
Let's talk about the other series last night. Are we going to talk about the clutch gene of this athlete, or does he just get a pass because he's from a different country?
We'll talk about horses,
that.
All right?
Yeah, he likes horses. He's great. Let's talk about that next on The Fan. Into the Blazers coming up in the second hour. Jason Quick just dropped an article on The Athletic.
Yeah, trying to go through it.
Going through it right now.
Got some good anonymous sources in there. We'll go through it at some point.
I promise we won't try to make every show about Tom Dundon.
Tommy D.
Saving money.
Tommy D.
Tommy Two Nickels.
Spend some money, Tom. I'm going to start yelling at you.
He would say, I just did. I bought the franchise.
Yeah, I just spent $4 billion, actually. Thanks for asking.
I'm a broke boy now. What do you want from me? We got some NFL stuff we can get into today. NFL draft week is here. I'm excited about that. We got a trade that's happened but hasn't happened yet, and we can talk about it, but it's a very weird thing that we're sitting in.
I'm sure no tampering happened in this case at all. No conversations were had. There's nothing. None of that happened.
So Ant Edwards and the Wolves.
Oh,
boy.
You're going to make me howl, Ant.
Coming back from 19 last night, their second largest comeback in playoff history for their organization. Their first was in 2024 in Game 7, coincidentally, against the same team. And, man, their defensive intensity, it's hard to describe things in sports sometimes. It's just one of those, like, you know it when you see it.
Yes.
If you watch, and by the way, did you stay up for the whole game?
I fell asleep with about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Wait, for the rest of the game?
For the rest. I woke up and my iPad was on my chest, and so I made it as long as I could. I was fighting tooth and nail to make it to the end of this thing. In bed, iPad on chest, and I woke up, and it was like laying on my chin, and I'm like, what? I looked at my phone. Hey, Minnesota won. All right.
My eyes are still burning
from being up
trying
that late
to stay awake.
Yes.
I had to take a shower to try to stay awake because I wanted to see the end of the game.
It was such a good ending to the game.
And coming off the Knicks game, I was like, oh, I got to see this one too because you know it's going to end
great
too.
We got two great games last night.
But man, I knew I was going to pay for it. And of course, here we are.
So you made it.
Yeah.
Made it all the
way. It was a great, great game.
So I thought you were going to tell me what happened to you because that also happened to me. I fell asleep with 10:15-ish left.
Okay.
So I remember dozing off.
Yeah.
And the wife was like, go to bed. And I woke up and there was 6:40 and I was like, I gotta watch this.
There's 6 minutes to go.
I was like drunk with sleep. I'm like, no, I was super tired too. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah. One eye open, one eye closed.
Because I was with you, and not that you didn't care as much, but like
I tried to.
It's the best rivalry, I think, in the sport.
It was the series I was most excited for. I was genuinely bummed it started at the time that it did.
It was really late.
Because you're locked out to all East Coast viewers, and I don't want to get into that rant again. This is the best series of the first. Or Atlanta-New York?
I'm okay with you saying this.
Are the two best series in the first round, and why are we putting it at midnight East Coast time?
So I have a lot of questions, and I'm already kind of against it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of Blazers we'll get to today. But
we do.
So are we going to do to Jokic what we do to every other superstar? He was 1-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, 1-7 for three in the game.
His threes were barely touching rim if they did.
He also did not have it felt like he has weird games sometimes where he's not aggressive in any way to shoot the ball. Like, there was a moment when Minnesota was on their run, which, by the way, their second quarter was one of the sexiest quarters of basketball I've ever watched.
And then it ends with a Jamal Murray half court.
I know, and you're like, dude, no. Because I'd already live bet Minnesota at that time, and I'm like, yes, they got the lead ahead. No, are you kidding me? That, I mean, they just were, the defensive intensity was there, the ball movement.
Yeah.
I felt like every shot didn't even touch the rim. I didn't care if it was DiVincenzo, Naz Reid, Ant. Every single time. It was just a beautiful basketball to watch. But there was a moment where Jokic took a shot, and they're like, that's his third field goal attempt of the game. I'm like, you've already blown a 19-point lead. Maybe we get a little more aggressive here. And then you look at the box score at the end, 20 shots, seven of them threes, and he was one of seven.
Yeah, so here's the thing about this to me. I wonder how much, where his conditioning is at is what I'm wondering. Like, how are you not talking about this in Denver today, if not just that they lost? Yeah, he had the dunk on Gobert late, which was a great drive and dunk. And him and Gobert have some real back and forth energy.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they hunt him on defense.
Yes,
he's,
they do.
He's that bad defensively. They're hunting their best player for Denver.
Yep.
And when he shoots these threes, he's coming up front rim or it's an air ball. And I'm like,
legs are a little tired.
Yeah, he just, I don't know if it's an inch. And I'm not trying to make an excuse. He's a superstar player. He's regarded as the best player in the league. You got to show up in big moments. This is how we, this is the stage in which we judge these people.
Yes, it is.
And I thought he was passive. I thought he was meh. He looked slow. They hunted him. And then that last possession, one of the last possessions for Denver, he drives. He gets right near the lane where he hits a floater, except he dumps down to Christian Brown and they foul him and he misses the free throws. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
You're Jokic. You're the guy that's supposed to shoot the ball in that spot.
That's a moment where any other superstar, fill in the blank in that league, if they pass that shot up, killing him today.
See, and I don't even know if it's any other guy. I think it's mainly one guy.
I think Steph or LeBron. Like, dude, the pass wasn't even like a good look. It was, you have a better look than Christian Brown.
Yeah.
Shoot it.
I think the tough part with it is I agree wholly with the take of it bothers me when we hold different people accountable for different things.
He gets the biggest pass of any player in the entire league.
Because he's fat and he's goofy and he likes horses and he's like, he's just,
and he's won, and we know how great he is. And it's not a knock on his talent.
The guy's got a championship, and that's the other part of it, that it's like, you know, some guys we criticize in those moments largely because if they haven't won one yet, then that then enters the conversation again. And for Jokic, he's already got a ring. I remember having this feeling, though, about him because we had a fun debate on the show, OKC or Denver, last year. They ended up playing in the second round of the playoffs, went all the way to seven, and OKC won. But I remember having the same feelings about him in the postseason last year where he seemed passive. He seemed a little tired. There were games where you're like, you're just not even trying to score. Like, you're one of the greatest scoring bigs, if not the greatest scoring big in the history of the NBA.
Certainly one of them.
You can do things that very few other people in the history of this league can do, and he'd have like four field goals with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, why are you not being more aggressive? This is the moment when your team is needed. Why are you not stepping up? I don't know where the series goes from here. It's been wonky and a great rivalry, which is why I jumped on Minnesota down by 19. Denver just couldn't miss in the first quarter. You're like, this might even out a little bit.
Funny how they did the same thing to each other.
It was identical in the first quarter to the second quarter. Yeah. And then credit to Minnesota for hanging on. That's a team that I know has some flaws and question marks coming in. To get the split and all of a sudden you're even going back home. A team who's been a really good postseason team. That was an awesome, fun game. I wish I could have stayed up for the entire. Let's move it up a little bit earlier next time, NBA. How about that? Can we get a 5 o'clock tip for that series?
I'll defend your take. Last night was tough. Me and Brandon are dealing with the.
I think it was halftime at like 9:15 or 9. It was like, dude,
was
I'm trying to hold on for dear
it
life.
It was 9
man.
O'clock at halftime, and I'm like, what is happening here?
It's midnight on the East Coast.
It's 10:15. Great. Can't wait. Can't wait for tomorrow.
Oh, they made a shot. Okay.
Loaded second hour. We got a game two for the Blazers. Might have a little bit more on this series as it shifts 1-1. But the Blazers have game two. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1. The Fan.